what he was doing. As a matter of fact, it even changed the way I looked at one of my favorite movies. Have any of you heard of the movie Fiddler on the Roof?
Yes.
Okay. I watched that when I was a young kid, and I just remember If I Were a Rich Man. As the years went by and I see it again, I would grasp some of the things. But when I saw this concept, even that theory of what was happening there, I'm like, whoa. Now I see. I see what's going on. And so if you grasp this, I can assure you that you are not going to read the gospel. You see this. You see it so different. By the way, as I was, you know, we go back 9 years since I left. But there are some here that I was at Andrews from 95 to 97, and one of my professors was here. Pastor Dorothy. I know you don't remember, but I remember. Let's be honest, that when I was in Monte Morelos, I was the president of the student association. There were 3,000 students, and they came up to you and say, "Hi, I know you." And I looked at them, "Hi, I don't know you." Because you're up front all the time. He's got these has thousands of students go through matters. I don't know. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'll get started. Father, I want to thank you this morning for giving us an opportunity to be here as a church family to worship you. I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have to share with my brothers and sisters. I pray that what I share may be what you have put in my heart. And may your name be glorified in everything that I say. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when I was looking at this, I said, oh, this is vintage. What are you looking at? It's my report card from the third grade. I passed the third grade, and I was going to the fourth grade. So that is in here in 1970. Remember the date? So in 1970, I began passing grade to go to the fourth grade. So 1971 would have been my fourth grade. 1972 would have been fifth grade. In 1972, I think it was on February of 1972. My dad, my mom, four of us were crossing the Tijuana border in L.A. We're crossing in 1972. Sometime I went and enrolled in school. Now remember, I was going to the fifth grade. I was 9 years old. When they enrolled me in the school, they said you can't be in the fifth grade. Two reasons. One, the language. I get that. I just knew a few words in English. I remember burrito, the chicken, gallina, hen, lapis, pencil, and pluma, hen. That was my image. said is that the house of fishing, Bethesda, right? The city, the house of mercy. And then we have in Bethany, the house of affliction. And so the boys went through this period of Bethesda, which is the house of the Lord. Who went there? Well, the ages were 5 and 6. 5 or 6 years old until they were 10 years old. And what did they do? Where did they get the instruction? It was usually in the synagogue, in the church. And who was the one that gave them these instructions? Well, it was a local scribe or a teacher. And the question you might have, what did they learn? Well, they learned to read Hebrew. Just like when I took theology classes, I tried to read Hebrew. They learned about writing basic Hebrew. They memorized. You know, we have memorization also for our kids, right? Once a week, we teach them one verse. So the idea is that at the end of the year, they would know how many verses? 52, right? And at the end of 5 years, they would know 260 verses. Pretty good, right? Well, at the end of their 5 years, the children should know by memory the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. Especially Deuteronomy 6:4-9, it is sort of like a blessing that the Jewish rabbis and people use a lot. So this blessing they needed to memorize early on. Very important. They kept also learning basic prayers and blessings, right? We see those in the Bible. And they learned that these by memory because they were going to use them a lot as they were being trained. The method of learning was oral and repetitive. And most of us know that in order to learn something, you do what? You read it, and then what? You read it again, and then what? You try to say a few words, but it's repetition. And that's what the kids did. That's the way they learned large portions of scripture. And what was the outcome? By the end of Bethsaida, a boy could read scripture fluently, all right? And had, listen to this, I would have failed, and had much of the Torah committed to memory. The second stage was Bet Talmud, the house of learning. What are the ages? Ages 10 through 13. Location, where did they learn all this? Well, it was in the synagogue or in a teacher's home. And who was the teacher? It was usually a trained rabbi or a scholar that taught these boys their next stage. And what did they learn? Well, they continued the memorization of the 5 books of the Bible, the Torah. They started to learn oral law or the interpretations, traditions, and applications. They were really good about debating. Do you see that when you read the scriptures? When the religious leaders would meet Jesus, what were they usually doing? Debating, right? Because this is what they were taught. This is what they learned. They also learned discussion and questioning of scripture, ethical instruction, how the law applies to daily life. What happens if your car runs over somebody? What are they going to do? What is the biblical thing to do? What's going to happen? They also learn basic legal reasoning by case and example. Maybe they learn the is it right to pay taxes to the Caesar? Well, let's, they would go back and forth and find out, you know, ways of trying to figure out, and they got really good at this. What happens if a man, and this is between them, because I can just see them, what happens if a man marries a woman, but the man dies, and then the other man comes, and then another, and another, and seven of them, when they get to heaven, whose wife is he going to, is she going to be? So they went back and forth. Does that ring a bell? So they were good about doing all this. What was the method? Well, call and response, teaching, debates, memorization. And the students learned to think within the law, not just quote it. So they got really good at this. What was the outcome? By the time a boy was 12 or 13, the boy was considered religiously accountable. Later on, they called it bar mitzvah. Have you heard of it? Once they were done, what happened? The student, the one that was learning to be a rabbi, went and asked a rabbi, "May I follow you?" Okay. And what did the rabbi do? Well, the rabbi would decide if, number one, if he was smart enough. It was like an interview that you'd never want to have. Because they interviewed that young man really, I mean, okay, you want to be a rabbi? Could you start Deuteronomy 10? Could you do Leviticus 11? Word of God, by memory. Could you do Deuteronomy 30? How about Genesis 25? They saw in the kid, well, is he disciplined? So they started asking questions. Tell me about your study. How did you study? How much time did you spend in studying? And how much time did you play? You know, and what the rabbis were looking at, not unlike me, when I was growing up, I would get home, do my homework in half an hour, and go play football. What they were looking at was for the other way around. You know, I played for half an hour and I studied for six. He's disciplined. And then what they looked at was, can he carry my yoke? Can he carry or understand my, which is very interesting, is my interpretation of the law? And that's what they did. So, in the first century, Judaism, yoke, and there's a Hebrew idea behind all this. The yoke meant the Jewish teaching of this rabbi. It referred to the rabbi's, listen here, the rabbi's interpretation of the law. They learned his way of reading scripture. Right? If the rabbi, there used to be pews here. I was going to sit, but let's say the rabbi just stood and was reading scripture. They would imitate what the rabbi did. They would learn about the practical application of God's command according to what the rabbi understood. The lifestyle of his disciples were what expected. What he was expected to live was how the rabbi lived. And so, to take a rabbi's yoke meant this: I accept your understanding of God's will, and I will order my life around it. So, learning to be a rabbi, but not just live out the law as the rabbis lived it. Later on, there were some sayings that came with the Hebrew understanding. It basically this: let your house be covered in the dust of your rabbi's feet. What did that mean? It meant stay so close to this rabbi that his life shapes yours. Here's the response when Jesus Christ Grace means some reason, for some reason, whatever reason, maybe you took a break. Maybe you took a left turn or a right turn. Remember, we were asked to stay in the middle of the path. I don't care what your reason is. What I do care is that today you can make that choice again to follow Jesus again. And here's why. Because when we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that because you are ready, it means because Jesus is ready. He is always ready. And so this morning, Jesus is making this call to us. Follow me. He is ready. He is ready to begin the good work in you. And you know what the promise is? That the work that he has begun, he will finish. All of us are in the process of becoming something else. let go of him. Never let go. Stay close to Jesus, because he is the one that will see us. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he did on my behalf, on our behalf. And thank you, Jesus, for even though we were rejected, we were losers, you came to us and still ask us today, come and follow me. And I pray that he